So poured these Mondo footings, got his plans, and battled through City Hall for approval, and poured these ginormous footings, and started coming up with these three big angled columns that were supposed to go up and meet. And by the time I got up there 400 or 500 feet, everybody was starting to wonder, is that straight?
We had to restack the boulders on the top of the retaining wall a year and a half ago. And it cost a lot of money, relatively. Maybe not a ton, but it was disappointing.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme, it's actually a pretty minor repair or correction. And these things happen. They're relatively predictable in terms of if you're in the industry, if you're building, and if things are getting built, there's going to be times where things are built wrong and have to get ripped out. Mm-hmm. So ripping out work, what's the deal with that? Is that actually the case that things are ripped out, or is it sort of...
No, things are ripped out. That's why cat's paws exist. That's why framers carry cat's paws. It's because work has to be redone. Yeah, that's why... Yeah, sawzalls are only used part of the time for installing the work, and a significant portion of a sawzall's life is spent cutting things apart.
Yeah.
So that they can either be upgraded and remodeled and renovated, or just simply removed and built again. I don't know what other tools would be like that. Sometimes, clearly, a jackhammer. Mm-hmm. In fact, there are plenty of concrete subcontractors who put off as long as they can buying a hot saw and a jackhammer, because those are only in a concrete man's toolkit for removing failed work.
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
Oh, right. The guy, a concrete guy who's installing concrete,
is just installing concrete.
Why would they
ever remove it? That's right. So you don't need a jackhammer until Murphy shows up, you make that mistake. And I know that Dustin, he was almost superstitious about it. If I don't own a stupid jackhammer, I'm not going to have to tear out any work, am I? You know?
Oh.
And so he just really drug his feet on initially buying a quickie saw or a jackhammer and a towable trailer and all of that. He wasn't interested in tearing out his concrete.
What's the towable trailer for a jackhammer?
Well, though, for throwing the concrete in and take it to the dump offloading broken up concrete.
For hauling it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, those things happen. And I can think of a couple of glaring examples, one of which that didn't result in a tear out, but is a permanent, like, 1,000-year permanent botch. So a botch, I think we talked about that. David Pye's definition of a botch, that it's a repair to a piece of work that can always be identified as a repair. And maybe it works and it makes the...
What is that, like a word he coined?
No, people talk about a botched job.
Oh, he defined it.
Actually, he went back and found out what the definition was in Old English when it started.
Oh.
And a botch was a noun. Okay, that's a botch. That's a repaired mistake.
Wow, that you can be identified forever.
Yeah, you can always spot the botch.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Makes sense.
So the biggest botch that I know of that anybody can see is if you drive through Las Vegas on, 315 or whatever the main north-south highway is, you can see Bob Stupak's tower. He's got a three-legged concrete tower that he put up. The Stratosphere. Bob Stupak's Stratosphere. He put it up with great fanfare because Bob Stupak always felt like he was not accepted by the mainstream gambling elite community. He was out kind of in North Las Vegas, and he had kind of a low rent thing, and he paid cash for everything. And he was like Donald Trump. He just wasn't cool. He didn't have any charisma. He just had money. And so to set himself apart, he built the Stratosphere, and it was going to be the highest thing in Las Vegas. And he hired his own engineer, and he hired a man who was qualified, so he functioned as his own contractor to build the tallest building east of the Mississippi or whatever it was.
He was his own.
Essentially.
I mean, he hired guys.
He didn't hire Tiburti or any of the big concrete contractors in Las Vegas.
He figured I can do it, sort of.
I'll build this. Yeah, that was Bob Stupak.
Whoa.
So poured these Mondo footings, got his plans, and battled through City Hall for approval, and poured these ginormous footings, and started coming up with these three big angled columns that were supposed to go up and meet. And by the time I got up there 400 or 500 feet, everybody was starting to wonder, is that straight? And one of them isn't. One of them was coming up at the wrong angle, and when he figured it out, the work stopped. corrected the angle and went on up with the form work. And so that one leg will always be crooked.
Whoa.
Yeah, how about that? But it remained within the engineer's specifications for safety. Oh. Not falling down, but will always be ugly.
Holy smokes. Yeah, that would be a botch.
Yeah, that was a botch.
Well, and I guess in that case, I wonder, maybe that wasn't even that expensive of a botch. I mean, if he had to re-engineer, but he didn't rip it out, I guess.
How about that? I didn't think about that. So it was embarrassing, but maybe it didn't cost him much.
Yeah. Well, who knows? At the same time, maybe they had to like rework the whole restaurant up top or whatever.
I don't think so, because they just corrected the course, and from there on up, it looks about right.
It's just like a geometry problem.
Yeah, like a broken leg that got reset, you know?
Holy smoke.
Yeah, and I don't know how big that column is right there, but it's big, like half the size of this shop, you know,
probably
in cross-section.
Bigger than that.
Well, I mean, in the cross-section, 400 feet in the air. It was big. So anyhow.
How's that done? Just cranes, like pumping concrete, like way up in the air and kind of pumping it in? Or how do huge, tall concrete things like that happen?
So you can pump concrete straight up a long ways. The rate limiting factor becomes how much pressure the hose will hold. Okay, the pump will almost always push hard enough. So here's the real answer. I'm not sure. I'll make some of this up. But I think the pumps can push without really any problem a long ways. But it becomes a problem to have a pipe that'll hold that pressure.
Yeah.
So they pump up to another pump and then pump up to another pump and pump up to another pump.
Wow.
So it comes out of one pump and falls into the hopper on the next and up they go.
Oh.
Or they use cranes with buckets. That's an old school thing, which is way slower.
Oh, and they just pull a bucket of mud up and dump it in.
Swing it over and go back, you know.
Wow.
But it's crazy.
Have you paid attention to that building in San Francisco that's tipping or sinking or something?
I've only heard about it. What's the deal with that?
I need to update on the current status, but it's a condo building. It's residences inside. And it was built, I think, within the last 15 years. And all the units sold, very expensive, very high end. And it's sinking. It's tilting. It's
doing that.
Yeah. And it's a big lawsuit between engineer, the city, something to do with the city had, they're blaming the city for, I don't know, like digging some train track or I don't know. It's like all kinds of like finger pointing.
Some excavation that happened afterwards or in conjunction.
The engineers
with,
or the contractors are saying that because of this that happened, it's moving. The homeowners are freaking out because they're nobody's going to buy and their assets are, you know, kind of
junk. And it's a big enough building in close enough proximity to other buildings that it would be hard to take down, no doubt.
I mean, I'm sure it could be done, but this talk about expense. I mean, it's probably, I don't know if it's more expensive to take it down than it is to put it up, but it wouldn't surprise me.
So what were you talking about, a block wall that was put in the wrong spot?
Okay, so I built that block wall in Arizona at the Apache Storage, and the contractor, Daryl, told me a story. I was really struggling to where to locate the wall because I wanted it on the property line to maximize my property.
Sure.
But I didn't want it on the property line. No, I wanted it, the entire wall and the entire footing on my property.
On your side.
But I wanted it like half an inch on my property. I didn't want to give up any more than I had to. And as I was setting these strings and deciding this, Daryl told me a story about a similar wall, a little bigger. My wall was 1,000 linear feet or 1,100. I think this wall was like, I think it was like 2,000. It was a really big wall.
Big wall.
And they built it and the neighbor came, they surveyed it and built the wall. And the neighbor came and said, your wall's on my property.
So the neighbor must have surveyed it or hired a surveyor or something.
And said, your wall's on my property by a foot.
Oh.
And they said, oh, shoot. Okay, let's make a deal. Trying to, you know, buy a foot. And he said, no. And he made them rip it down. And I think it was a government, I can't remember who the client was, who was paying the money. I can't remember. Doesn't matter. He said, no, I want it gone. So they ripped it out, brought this surveyor back.
Ripped out 2,000 feet.
Ripped out 2,000 feet of wall. And pinned it again, built it again in the wrong spot. This time 1 inch on the neighbor's property.
Whoa.
And the neighbor made him rip it out again.
Whoa.
And Daryl did this job. He's the one who built it or he was on the job. And he told me the wall, what originally was a $200,000 wall, cost almost $1 million.
Cost $1 million.
And
did he ever feel in the crosshairs? Was he ever in harm's way? Or not
that he relayed to me. he didn't feel any blame or anything.
He just got to build 6,000 feet of wall.
Yeah, he got a lot of work and he made a lot of money off it. In fact, that was kind of his angle, was that he made a ton of money on that job because it was actually three jobs. He built a wall three times, and that'd be a great place to be as a contractor, I would think.
Yeah.
If the surveyor says build it here and this is the string, I think they could probably realistically not be blamed if that's where they built it.
So how far did you move it onto your side of the line on yours?
I think the footing is between six and eight inches.
So you got some distance.
Yeah.
You weren't having any of that.
But even that 6 and 8 inches, I was kind of, after hearing that story, I was kind of sweating it. Yeah. Although, I mean, those guys trusted their surveyor as well. So I can't say that my surveyor was better than theirs because they had some pins and
But yours was pretty simple. I mean, it was line of sight. You could see.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And there was previous, this is for me, the neighbors had previous kind of junky chain link fences up
right.
that I just left.
Okay, right. Sure.
And so now there's like an alleyway between their fence and my fence that you could squeeze through if you wanted to, which is weird.
Right.
But at least I didn't have to rip the wall out if one of them was ornery and it had gone onto his space a little bit.
That's good.
Let's talk for a sec. Something that I learned from you a long time when I was a kid, that if you got to take a loss, you got to take it early.
Oh yeah.
Explain that mentality and how it might apply to something like this.
Okay. So that it is important. And I learned this from your mom's dad, Stan, one of a short list of really positive things that he contributed. And his whole thing was that when you see that there's been a mistake or a problem or, there's a fine that's going to accrue, or there's a problem with title on property, or you have a beef with somebody on a contract, and you reach a conclusion that it's really likely you're going to take a loss. He said, and I didn't understand it then, but I understand it now, take your loss immediately if you can, because when you try to delay a loss like that, you try to work around and you try to hire an attorney or bring in maybe another engineer or whatever it is, the loss is going to grow by the amount that effort costs you. And some intangible amounts that you can't even anticipate or quantify, it's just always going to get bigger. So the rule is, when you see you're going to take a loss, take it early. And we just had to do that, right?
Yeah, because in our case, if we had postponed and said, we'll see what happens, and all of a sudden a house was built, good luck. Yeah. Well, it could have been done, but I don't know how, moving those rocks back.
Or even if that lot, if our neighbor's lot would have just sold, if it would have been a different owner of that adjacent lot and there would have had to have been a fix.
Right.
We would have been.
I think of that lesson a lot of times with lessons like that can be applied in grand scale, like probably Stupak's tower, he corrected it as soon as he could. But I think of that a lot of times when there's a phone call I don't want to make, or maybe a voicemail.
Oh yeah.
Like in a voicemail from a client or a whoever that I just have been like putting off.
Yeah.
And I think of this a lot, like it's just kind of the same mentality of get it over with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think it still does apply, because some of those, if you got an issue to work out, delaying it just doesn't help the issue itself.
It never gets better. In fact, so an Oregon State's contractor education process, when you're going through the drill and taking the class and taking the test, one of the things that I remember, it was years ago that I did it, that was on part of that education, is a list of the reasons that contractors get in trouble is a failure to return calls, a failure to deal with the issues that clients are bringing. And they're speaking exactly to this. All you have to do is ignore an irate client for about a week, and now you have a really irate client, and your problem just got worse.
Yeah.
You threw away any goodwill that might have existed.
And whatever the problem was still exists,
Now
you have another problem.
That's right.
On top of that. It's really true.
It is.
Like on our block wall. And in general, maybe not even not our block wall, our rock stack.
Yeah.
What generally happens if this is a client job? If you had done that for a client where there's really no one party at blame.
Right.
There's like four
right.
or five people in who all kind of something fell through the cracks, which is just something that happens. I guess that's the general contractor, if there is one, that's why they're there, is to sort of be the buck stops like person responsible or what?
That's one reason so many attorneys function in the area of contracting law, because these conflicts happen all the time and they almost always go to court. They almost always turn into a legal battle, because nobody ever wants to say, okay, yeah, I'll take that. I will bite that bullet. Everybody, at least, it's like the surveyor with Daryl's deal. You know, it gets pushed, it pushed and pushed, and somebody has to carry the freight.
Yeah.
Unless somebody's willing to raise their hand. And with a client involved with that, there wouldn't have been time. Time would have gone away because they would have wanted some sort of a settlement now. And now those conflicts are resolved in a, I don't know, it would have been so complicated to help somebody understand, okay, help me, I got to work through this.
Yeah.
And give them the opportunity to share in the burden because they would have probably been sharing in the miscommunication and it just would have been so much harder. So much harder, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's
And then the other part of it is that I have always had probably an unhealthy compulsion to try to make people happy.
Yeah.
It's a strength and a weakness. Like every other strength, it's a weakness too. And it would have killed me to figure out how do I explain to this client that now your lot is going to be 6 feet smaller in both directions on a house plan now that may or may not fit. And I know I told you it was going to be this size, but now it's smaller. And I really don't want to have to completely redesign and rebuild this system just to give you back that 6 feet that I told you were going to get to begin with. How do you sell that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And a lot of people who aren't familiar with construction and the trades, it's all new to them. So the thought of something, people are so used to buying something off a shelf or Amazon that is made from a machine.
Yeah.
It's even I myself have this kind of expectation just because that's the way so much of our world works that like whatever the product is, it should be exactly that product. Yeah. And in some cases, maybe like, I don't know, plastics, like that's the case or whatever, right. Electronics, maybe, I don't know.
Even workmanship that, of certainty.
Yeah, right. But in construction and especially dirt work and building hotels or high rises, it's the polar opposite of coming out of a machine. It's being built right there and nobody, not the engineer, not the contractor, nobody knows exactly what is gonna happen. That's as it true. Goes. Maybe in some cases it was an actual honest mistake, but weather and even the materials themselves that should have been one thing maybe have some flaw that make other people's lives complicated.
And contractors' contracts are full of clauses to try to lay the groundwork for that sort of cover. If a located spring or water source is found in the excavation, or if an unlocated rock outcropping is located that has to be removed, or weather. That there, lots of contracts have clauses in there about weather. If it goes bad, it's not my fault. Damage that happens because of weather that I could not have mitigated with according to standard practice is not my fault. But still, I mean, we have enough attorneys that there's always a way.
Yeah.
To torpedo any of those things.
Yeah, and things like everything in life have to get negotiated and you have to like work to a solution.
That's right.
Whether that's litigation in a courtroom or even sitting down and being like and helping helping all parties understand the situation. Yeah. But construction is unique in that way where you don't know exactly, and for someone who might not build a lot or be around job sites a lot, that kind of realization, especially if it happens on their project for something they've been imagining and also now it's changing, would be kind of devastating for that person to think, like you said, now my property, this is our site, is kind of small and now it's 6 feet smaller. Mm-hmm. That would be kind of like a non-negotiable, like
that's right,
off the table, like I can't give that up.
Can't accept that. Do what you got to do, man. Fix it. Yeah, it would have been awful. And then there's the other thing about personalities and people's expectations and just who people are. And so that goes both ways. I mean, as a contractor, it's in your best interest to be able to evaluate people before you sign a contract and say, wow, I think this would be a hard person to work with based on this and this and this. I'm out of here. I will take any other job or I take this one. And the client, they are sort of interviewing me or any other contractor. And after they've met us and seen our proposal and seen how we keep our pickup and, you know, they're going to be saying, no, I can't work with a person like that. Or maybe they're saying, I can work with a person like that and mold him to my will. Or maybe they're saying, yeah, I think this, anyhow. So just finding that.
Yeah.
So to your point, what that would have been like with a client first depends on who the client was and what they were like. But in general, it would have been could have been catastrophic. And as it was, it's just inconvenient and cost a little money.
Yeah, the truth for me, looking back at it, because it cost a few thousand bucks, but I'm kind of glad that those rocks are stacked differently than they originally were.
Yeah.
I feel like it looks better. It's definitely safer. And we've been concerned from the beginning about building that into the house with like that cliff behind us and being on scaffolding. And that's always been a concern. It's less of a concern now. We're that's that much right. further away. I've got little kids who that's all they do is climb. It's just, I just feel better. And I am, like I said, I'm glad actually that that was kind of done that way.
Yeah.
I wish it could have happened the first time around, but I don't know, not necessarily, because sometimes having something like that happen can sort of bring awareness and help you slow down the pace. And I think you mentioned in the video that a lot of times it's time and that can cause a mistake to make where you're trying to hurry something. And sometimes like getting a reminder like, whoa, slow down. It's so much less expensive and smarter. Edward, the guy we met who helped us with our course said that. I'll remember that too. Slow is steady. No. Slow is steady. Steady is fast. No, slow is smooth. Smooth is fast.
Slow is smooth. Smooth is fast.
There you go.
That's a U.S. Navy SEALs slogan. But and there's another thing, and this is kind of maybe too much information, but I have now for a couple of years been aware that I shouldn't believe the comments about me and the channel. I mean, and so this is a nice wake-up call at the beginning of this project that I am not invincible, I'm not bulletproof, and not every thought that I think is exactly right.
Well, yeah.
You know, and so this might actually potentially save a bigger problem in this project, and there's sure going to be opportunities for bigger problems in this project.
A ton.
Every choice is an opportunity for a problem of this magnitude. Well, a lot of them. And so this is just like grab another gear, buddy. I mean, the world sees you as essential craftsman. The fact is you're just a builder making these choices and bringing experience. And
There were a few commenters who kind of identified at the time, like that looks a little heavy I would love to meet the talk about sharp. Yeah, I mean,
talk about sharp.
We missed it at the time, kind of. I mean, just like
the data we were looking at.
It's a long story, but they kind of how sharp are those guys see that? And that's pretty cool. There's some boneheads on the internet. There are also some really sharp people.
You know, Albert Einstein watches YouTube.
Yeah,
you know, and then the other thing was just a safety thing. I bet there were 50 people that said, hey, are you concerned about that cliff?
Yeah.
Are you concerned about that cliff? That looks scary to me.
Yeah.
And so.
Or think about like a knucklehead kid like who was like pushing a rolling rock.
Yeah.
Like, you can't roll a rock down those anymore.
It would stop.
They're not moving.
Yeah.
You can't even probably get one roll because it's got to
you gotta lift
the weight of it.
Yeah.
So it's safer. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for going through this. This is hopefully gives as many details as people wanted to know without, you know, getting too much into the weeds. But these things happen. We're glad it's behind us. I'm glad it happened in the first place for these reasons we outlined. And I'm really glad that we're now kind of moving forward with the house itself. Any last words from you?
Yeah, this is kind of neat. I like taking a few minutes because we're always so busy and charging around. It's nice to be able to sit down and kind of talk these things through in a measured way.
And people probably know, but we make these videos and we put a lot of thought into them. We try to keep them as dense and as focused as possible, which is great and makes for good YouTube content. The downside is a lot of interesting and useful information just doesn't make the cut.
Yep.
And we could make the videos different. We can make every video an hour long, but that takes a lot of time and effort as well. And I don't think it's not that we're shooting for entertainment. We're shooting to educate as many people. And I feel like by keeping them dense, we are educating more people.
We can educate in as entertaining a way as we can and still educate.
Yeah. So the hope is that we can also kind of get into some of the details in a setting like this, and not just with us or any contractors for that matter, just some more of the people who are seeing these things going. So, all right.